This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. Greetings, colleagues. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. I have a treat in store for you guys today. We have the man that has built an empire enough for many lifetimes. I mean, he is just that guy. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome our colleague, our friend, Dr. Scott Colonna. How are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor, Daryl.
Yeah, well, look, I'm super excited to have you on today's show because I've been following you for a while, and every time I look at your social media, your branding, your message, it just resonates with me. It's something about the way that you give the message, and definitely the content is something that can be real life-changing. So today I really wanted to really bring you on the show to really have this conversation because we're going through some difficult times, not just in eye care, but in the world in general. And I think having your perspective can help ease the minds of a lot of younger optometrists, optometry students, but also some of the seasoned optometrists out there because we're all going through it and we all are looking for some answers. And I know you have a lot of those answers that we may be looking for. So again, thank you dearly for being a part of the show, hanging out with Dr. Daryl Glover on the Defocus Media podcast. And before we get started, I'd love for you just to share with the world who you are, where you're from, how you got into this wonderful industry in this profession.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'll tell you, I've been very blessed. I've been surrounded by great people. My wife, Terry, my two kids, Gianna and AJ, are an integral part of what we have accomplished as a family. Our work family has been amazing through the 19 years and the different companies. So without all of them, I would not be sitting here talking about the experiences. You know, the experiences is what really has carved out where we are today and where we are going as a work family in the different entities. So for them, I'm truly blessed for them in allowing me to sit here and try to talk with, you know, the younger professionals and students out there and also our colleagues and business owners that are facing these challenges. These are all challenging times and we just want to make sure we're all safe and can really focus on the things that are important to us with our families at home and also our patient care and keeping our staff safe. So those are the most important things, you know. But for me, you know, I grew up in New York City. I was born in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn, Staten Island, and the east side of Manhattan. So I'm a New Yorker, and I'm one of those people that I don't live there anymore, but I love it extremely. I'm passionate about the energy. Every time I go back there, it makes me more excited to work on a new task or come up with a new project. So my family's still there. And that's really where, you know, I learned about business. You know, I learned from my dad. My dad started not in business, ironically. He started driving car service. He was car service, a postman, worked in a paper factory. He had so many different jobs when the four of us started out in our one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, and he just passed on so much knowledge when he got an opportunity to work on Wall Street, and I started to learn about stocks, finance, business, money, and through all of his connections as I grew up, and I actually always thought I was going to go into finance and business as I was surrounded by it on a daily basis in New York. So that's really where I got. My dad gave me such a great mentorship in finance and money. And it allowed me to take that into optometry, where it was ironic that I switched gears. I always thought I was the first person to ever go to college in the Colonna family. They were very big advocates for education. My parents, they did everything they could to sacrifice to get me to go to college, and wound up at SUNY Optometry because I visited with some optometrists that knew our family in Brooklyn. And I just loved the personal aspect of watching families and helping families take care of the vision of their families and their children's and seeing them as they grew up. And that's what made me passionate about optometry. And I just happened to cross over the business aspect from my dad and his friends and colleagues and combine that with our great profession in serving our patients. So that's kind of how I went into optometry. And I was lucky enough to go to SUNY Optometry, use the in-state tuition at the time, which is a little different now than it was then. So it just kind of led to a great path on serving in whatever way we can, you know, as far as that. And, you know, our profession is truly a blessing. I mean, we get to take care of people. We get to serve people. We get to help them. And it's really all about our patients, you know, or clients, depending on what your business model is. Right.
Right.
If we could focus on the service we're giving them and how we can help enhance whatever problems they're having. Everything seems to follow suit after that when you're focused on the right things, you know?
Yeah. So. No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, that's something that I always tell my team members in the office and I always tell my colleagues is like, they're like, man, Dr. Glover, Darryl, man, you're killing it, man. Like, I'm looking at how much money you produce today and how many multiples and this, that, and the third. And I'm always like, look, all I'm doing is solving problems for my patients. You know, I'm putting the person in front of me on a pedestal and I'm serving them. I'm not doing anything for my interest. It's just as a result of me putting them first and giving them solutions to solve their problems, I'm able to be lucrative in regards to it. So I think that's a key thing. You know, one thing that I wanted to circle back on was, you know, the importance of finances. You know, this is a huge thing that I feel like is a big missing piece in the world of eye care, in the world of optometry school. How important was it to have that background of finances prior to starting optometry school? And how important has that been in regards to, I guess, you creating your empire that you have as well, which we're going to get into shortly, you guys. I know you guys are dying to hear more about this story.
You know, the business background, I feel, is really crucial. And to touch upon it a little bit, if you look at, I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and what are they learning in their schools now? What are they learning, not only high school, what are colleges teaching? What are optometry school teaching, you know, teaching our students right now? And I truly believe that, unfortunately, there's a void. And I don't believe it's not a void that they are choosing to make. It's just that they're trying to get as much content into the curriculums to prepare the optometrists when we come out of school to be able to take care of their patients and best serve them. You know, it's not in their, you know, point of view. And I do agree with it. It's not their job to teach us finance and give us a degree in finance and business. However, you know, most of us go into business for ourselves and employ others. And that's where the crossover is. You know, we're excellent practitioners. Our schools prepare us on how to take care of our patients. But what stresses us out and ultimately burns us out is the business side of things, in my opinion. And so I believe it was really crucial to have the business background from such a young beginnings in practice, you know. And because of that, it allowed me to practice better. It allowed my partner, Dr. John Armando, for us to practice better because we knew we had certain things in place once we went home at the end of the day, because we should be building our businesses around our lives. You know, like this is, we get one shot at this and we want to make it the best life possible. You know, my wife recently brought up an article with someone and they were towards, you know, the end of their careers. And they said, how many people truly sit on, you know, their 80s or 90s and are sitting there and say, I wish I worked more, mm-hmm. right? It's right. About how do we work to the best of our ability? And everybody's level is different. Just because I choose to work 60 or 70 hours a week like you do, or that doesn't mean that the person next to me has to. It's what are their goals and what do they want out of life for right now, you know? So that's the most important thing about it to me. The finance part of it, if you can get it set up properly, is really let you lay your head down on the pillow at night a little better and just takes a little bit of the stress off the shoulders, you know, because we are going through some challenging times right now. And I know that term has been overused, but it is, right? And yeah. We need to be prepared for what we just went through. We need to be prepared for what if we have to go through it again? And how can we best, I believe it's an opportunity for market share and expansion. Let's not think about retraction, and let's not just, you know, cover our heads per se and just be like, oh, I just got to get through this, right? We don't want to put the pillow over our heads and say, is it 6 months? Is it 9 months? No, I want to know, what can we do right now to make it better from when we come out of what's going on in 2020, right? Yeah. And the business history has taught us that there are ups and downs to markets all the time, depending on when you enter and when you exit. And I believe these challenging times set us up for opportunity to make it better for the next growth cycle in our economies and also in our profession.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I greatly appreciate that information. And one thing that I really wanted to dive deep in today was talking about this a little bit more, because again, as at the top of the show, I mentioned there's a lot of folks that need some advice, that need some help, that need some education to really take their personal branding and their businesses to the next level. But before we jump into that, I really would like for you to just kind of paint the picture of over the last 19 years, the journey, the businesses that you've actually created, because I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, you didn't just read a couple of books and you're the guru and you're the expert in this. You've actually put in the work, you know, like you've actually done the work. You've had success, you're respected in the industry, and you know what you're talking about. Because there's a lot of people out there that just, you know, let me pick up a book here or there. Okay, I'm a guru at this, but you've actually done it. So if you could just kind of paint the picture from maybe back 2000, 2001 to today in regards to the various companies and what those companies do and why you created those companies.
Yeah, you know, we started out, and most of my resume, you hit it on the nail on the head of that, is it's truly just based on experiences. And I truly believe that's the best way for us to learn. Not everything we do is going to work out. I have made many, many mistakes, right? The Yep. key is learning from those mistakes and either not making them again or doing something different the next time to make it work. So, you know, back in 2001, my partner and I decided to buy a practice together, and we wanted to go into practice ownership as soon as possible because we were broke coming out of school, right? So we were like, let's make it happen sooner rather than later. And we bought a small practice from a solo doc, and he was a successful practitioner, a great practitioner. And we bought a practice up in Providence, Rhode Island, you know, and we started out with, at that time, we did not have enough patients for my partner and I to be full time. So we saw patients for 2.5 days a week each. And our whole goal was, how can we get ourselves to full time as fast as possible inside the practice? Now, even when we were working 2.5 days, we were working 70 hours a week trying to learn billing, trying to learn coding. We did the billing and coding at night after we saw the patients. You know, that's how you learn it, right? We learned every aspect of our company at that time. We had 7 employees at the time. So for the first 3 years, we probably averaged that 70 to 80 hours, no vacation in the beginning. And for me, I was brought up that way. It's sacrificed now so you can enjoy all of the great stuff a little later on, you know, and it's starting, yeah. It's definitely paid off in our lives at this point. So we started at the 7 and we kept growing it, and we saw where healthcare was going as our reimbursements kept getting lower. So we knew we needed to change our model in order to be successful. And if you follow MDs and ophthalmology, you pay attention to their models too. Learn from the other professions and what they're doing, because they're doing certain things for a reason. And we shouldn't just learn from ourselves. There's so many great business conferences that I go to each year, and I learn about finance and business and so forth, that we can incorporate certain things into our own business models personally and for our practices, you know. So we did that for a while, and we realized we had to go to a group model to make our financial situation for the company survive, you know, because reimbursements were going down. So that was a big challenge in the beginning. So we had to work on our hiring skills and our communication, and those are really important parts. We had them in the room, the communication skills, but now we had to go another level because we had to hire our first optometrist to work for us, right?
Right.
And that's a different way of looking at things. So we did our research and we hired and so forth and interviewed, and we started to see the differences in what they wanted in their lives, why they wanted to come and work and be part of our work family. So we could fast forward to, I think it was probably 2011, and things kept ramping up for us. We had a great community. The community was very loyal. I will tell you that we never did marketing like we're doing today, like me and you on here right now. It was all word of mouth, because word of mouth is the most loyal patient base to our practices still to this day, right?
Absolutely.
Our handwritten thank you card means more than an email that they might not see or goes to their junk box, right? So the personal touch is always what we have strived for and what we're doing. And it sets you apart with that personal touch, because that's coming from you. It's coming from me. It's coming from our staff. And if you could keep focusing on that going forward, no matter where you practice in our industry, it will set you apart, you know, because we become our own business. We become part of the community. And, you know, so we kept growing and growing and growing. And at no point, like you mentioned in the beginning, we just kept doing the right things for our patients. We always wanted them to leave, you know, happy. And we'll say 20 happy was always something. And our goal, we always joked about, you know, it came upon on a Vegas trip years ago. John and I went to Vegas with a few people, and we were there and somebody talked to us. It came up with this idea of, we just wanted to be the best in the world at what we do. And we should all want to be the best in the world at what we do. We want to be excited when we wake up in the morning, right? Yep. Because absolutely, there's so much opportunity. There's so many people we could help out there with our expertise and experience. And I'm not going to go and help someone in an area I do not know. And there's plenty of areas I do not know that I don't touch, right? But for that aspect, what can we give to each other and help them with that we have done successfully? What's on the resume? And being a business owner, being an optometrist, we see different things and we've learned different things from the inside. And when you truly learn it from the inside, it's not the same from learning it from someone who learned it from a book or a conference, right?
Right.
The action and the experiences and the follow-up is what separates people who truly build their empires versus people who do not. So, you know, we opened a lab, Mandalay Optical, in 2011. We kind of pitched it originally to the doctors of Rhode Island at first. We kind of got laughed at the meeting because they were like, well, how do you want to run a business in a lab? You don't know how to run a lab. You don't have to do this. But we were trying to pull optometry together to help each other, help protect us, because there's so many challenges from forces outside us and the bigger monopolies that are out there, that we need to protect the small businesses, because they're the ones, in our opinion, that truly, they're the ones that sponsor the sports teams and right, are at the flea markets and doing different things and giving back to the communities. All of our employees work and live, they came from our community. So to us, that's very important to us to give back, you know? So that's really where it came apart, that we started Mandalay Optical. And then it just slowly kind of grew each year and each year. And I will say 2019 was our biggest year for that. And it's just for people, it fits a niche. It is not the service for everybody, but it serves so that you could get good quality at an affordable price to keep your prices affordable for your patients. That's all it really is, right? It's about taking care of the patients in our community. So, so we started that and it's been going very well. And then somehow Uppercut came along almost 4 years ago, where I had a business coach that I hired, and I know you've met her through social media also. she literally got in my face and said, you need to be on social media. And I was like, why? I was anti-social media. You know? And she's like, you're being selfish. Okay. So very few people have ever called me selfish, right? And probably just my parents for the most part at times growing up. But and she questioned me. She's like, you need to help students. You need to help people that are out there and learn from the experiences that your companies have learned and have taught you, so that we could help them grow and accomplish more things together. And I was like, wow, that was pretty intense when I had, you know, she's shorter than I am, you know, her name is Danelle Delgado, and she just got in my face with that, you know? And so it became something where we started to put together an online training platform for optometrists and small business owners. We work with both now, and just solve problems, you know? And then it became speaking more at different conferences, business conferences and optometry conferences. So it's kind of steamrolled where I'm going to tell you, I never planned to be doing this with you right now in the middle of the day, right? Years ago. And it's truly a blessing as far as that, but there's, it just keeps going. We have another smaller practice now. And eventually it became where this past year we were just ranked in the top 50 by Vision Monday.
Oh, congratulations, man. That's a big deal.
Yeah, for now. No, we're not obviously like the big players at the top, like Essilor and Luxottica and all that stuff. But it was based on our one practice that now we have, before COVID, we had 70 employees. You know, we're a little bit below that right now. We're about low 60s at this point in the different companies and stuff, but we're going to get back to that as we slowly build and come out of this. But so that's been the kind of how each company has evolved, and they've all been revolved around the basic premise of what we talked about. It's serving clients, serving patients, and then everything else seems to follow if you do it the right way, 100%, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing that I love, I was watching some of your videos in the past, and something that really stuck out to me outside of, you know, serving and this, that, and the third is that your perspective of when your family is in the office and your family's relationship with the team members in the office. If you don't mind just touching on that a little bit, because I think that speaks highly in regards to, you know, how your office should run, how that office should be set up, and how the patients are going to be able to feel when they walk into a work environment. If you don't mind touching on that, because I think that's something that business owners in today's society really need to understand, because that face-to-face interaction, that customer service that you provide is king. And if you're not able to provide a community or an environment where people feel welcome and people feel like you are serving them, then we will see small businesses start to disappear. So if you don't mind touching on that, because that really touched me when I was hearing you speak on that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that no matter what profession we are in, we are all in the service industry, in my opinion. I don't care if you're an internet online company. I don't care if you're a brick and mortar store. It comes down to the service. And, you know, when we had our meetings, and our meetings have evolved over the years as we've grown, we always talked about treating anybody who came in the door like they were your favorite family member. Most of the time, it was either our grandmother or grandfather, I will say, in our staff. Like, everybody usually named their grandmother or grandfather, right? If you treat every patient that walks in your door like they're your grandmother or your grandfather, and how you want to be treated when you take your grandmother or grandmother to a grandfather to the doctor, that's how it will emulate throughout your entire staff. Because I believe our work family here at the companies, they are truly part of our work family, because we spend so many hours together, right? Yeah. We put so many fires out together, right?
Yeah.
But we want every patient to leave happy, and we have some aggressive, you know, protocols on how to make sure people leave happy. Yes, we have lost money on tons of pairs of glasses over the years because they did not feel that we did the job we were supposed to. And it's our job to make that right. And sometimes that might cost us a couple of $100s, okay? But in the long run, we learn from that. And there's always some truth to what the patient is telling us, you know? And we all have challenging family members. I have some challenging family members, and we have challenging patients, right?
Yeah. But
myself, as a father of a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, right now I have to teach them we're all going to face challenges. How do we deal with those challenges? How do we deal with the anxiety and the stress that's out there and be part of the solution instead of being part of the problem, right? And it's the same in any business model that I'm blessed to work with as clients. I mean, I've worked with auto industry. I've worked with medical professionals. I've worked with so many different professionals and professions in the last, you know, almost a decade now, that I've learned the commonalities of running a business are very similar. It's not just specific to optometry, where optometry, we are special. We definitely have our specialties because we do have a retail side, most of us, and a medical side, yes. Right? That's a unique combination. And that's a blessing, actually. Absolutely. There's a lot of things you could use to that to be a blessing, right? So that's kind of how I feel about it. And I think if we treat everyone like our family, you know, it'll just kind of really spread in almost a great way for our profession. And we are, a lot of us are like that. I mean, I've met so many of us through the years at different conferences. We all have that in us. It's just teaching our employees and our work family to reflect that back on our patients and our community.
Yeah. You know, Scott, I love that you touched on that. I've said that probably a million times on various podcasts. You know, every patient that walks into my office, I treat them like they're my mom or father, my mom or dad. And the love that I give to that patient is reflected back 100 times more than what I'm giving them. And the amount of referrals that I receive just simply because of that is just unmatched. I mean, it is key to make your patient feel like they are your family, because once you get that connection and you're able to have that intimate connection, there's so much information that they'll just tell you. And also they're going to be a walking billboard for you, because they're going to tell everyone down the street, I'm going to Dr. Glover because he treated me like I was his wife, his mother, his son, his child, whatever it may be. And, you know, that just helps to take your practice to the next level. What I would love to do next, Scott, is really just kind of dive into how to build an empire. I mean, we've kind of been touching on it right now in regards to, you know, just treating a patient the right way. But I would love for you just to give the listeners, the viewers, some additional tips that you think are key. But before we jump into that, I'm very curious to know, every time I see you give a conversation, a lecture, a presentation or something like that, you always have that ball. What is that ball all about? Like, what do you deal with that? What is going on there, man?
So this is my baseball that sits on my desk. So, okay. So this was my first home run in Little League I hit with this ball.
Wow.
So it went over the fence. And I'm going to tell you, I only hit one. So over the fence. Right? I was fast. I could run around the bases, but truly hit one over the fence. This is the one I hit over the fence. And my dad got the ball from the outfield. And I've carried it with me wherever I've gone, no matter what desk, whether it was in college, whether it was in grad school, wherever it was. It's on my desk now with me. So it fits my hand. That stays at the office here. Near my other desks that I have at home and here, and you know, the other, I have a couple other desks that I work from. Those usually have a golf club next to it. So I do like to have something in my hand, usually when I am giving a presentation or a speech or stuff, but it just connects me. The baseball connects me back to where I started. I mean, gotcha. It truly does, you know, and it's baseball started for me with my dad when I was young. It was just one of the sports I played, and then I played basketball. And unfortunately, you know, my dad passed away last year unexpectedly, and he was my, you know, he was my greatest mentor. So it's a connection for me to my dad from when I do these types of things, because he used to say to me, "I think you're crazy," and he's like doing all this stuff, right? Because his generation was not to tell people about what works and what doesn't. You wanted to be private as far as that. And I was brought up that way, right? But I do understand that we can share things with each other. Just what you're doing on this amazing podcast you've put together. Think about how many people you are helping every time you put yourself out there and you go live and you have to answer questions. You have to prepare and put all this work in. You're helping so many people, right? So, And that's the, you know, that's an amazing thing about the type of person, obviously, you are on the inside. You're looking to give back in any way you can in the middle of your day and so forth. So that's kind of how the baseball kind of follows and trails through. It's just a connection to the past, you know, of where we kind of started as far as that. So.
Sorry, guys, I got off track there a little bit, but I tend to do that. But I meant to ask you at the top of the show about that, because, you know, whether you're on your porch at home or whether you're in the office, I always see that ball. And I'm like, I know there's one hell of a story behind that ball. And I want to be the one that talks about that ball. So I'm glad that you gave us that little exclusive there.
I will say you were the first person that's asked me about the ball, actually.
You are. Oh, man, you see? That's what's up. I guess I'm doing my job, right?
Absolutely.
But let's circle back to building this empire. You know, I don't want to hold you for the entire day, but I would love for you just to really kind of paint a picture and give advice with the current situation of COVID-19 at hand. You know, for those maybe students that's coming out of optometry school or those seasoned vets that have been practicing for years, just whatever advice you can give, whether it's on a personal level, store level, corporate level, how can they build their empire and how can they make their empire effective? Because a lot of us build things, but it's not really effective and it's not really helping to make the world a better place. So if you don't mind just, you know, touching on some of the main points that you feel could really resonate with the listeners.
You know, as I've talked to so many people, especially students that are coming out of school, they're weighed down by things that don't align with their passion and their vision. Okay. Obviously school debt is a huge stressor for so many people at this point, right? And it was throughout the generations, but it's becoming more and more. And it almost takes away and holds back the passion of why they're going into their profession. And that becomes their goal. Their goal becomes, how do I get rid of this student debt so I can sleep better at night? You know? So for me, I was brought up to focus on, besides being a great person in the community, to be a father, a husband, and a leader, which is important to me. You know, we all need to determine what's important to us as an individual that we want to accomplish. But the quicker that you could accomplish financial freedom, okay? Now, everybody's definition of financial freedom I've found is different. When I was growing up, I thought there was only one. But if you could accomplish financial freedom earlier in your career, okay, it allows you to free yourself up and be passionate more in your community and what you truly want to do. Okay. Now, everybody's like, well, you're supposed to take a job that you're passionate about. Nobody likes 100% of the things they do with their job. You know, I can't say I'm getting closer to it. But nobody likes 100, right? We still have to deal with things we don't like to deal with, right?
Right.
But that's part of it, right? So trying to get to financial freedom. And what I mean is true financial freedom for me and for the clients that I work with is, how do we take how they live on a monthly basis and replace that with, I'm going to call it passive income. And passive is an elusive word because there's no such thing that people just throw money at you, right? You still need to work for passive income, but where your money starts to work for you. So saving. So there's the earning power in the beginning and sacrificing to save. And then what you do with that money is how you invest it. You're only saving it to invest it so that you could get a return to replace your living expenses on a monthly basis. Okay. So for example, when I started out, actually before I even got married to Terry, I invested in real estate. So we were saving up money for our wedding and I went to her and I said, this great opportunity came up. We're going to buy parking spaces in Washington, D.C. inside a condo building. Okay. But we had to use the money that we saved up for the wedding. Okay.
Oh, man. Talk about
fire. This is like a deal breaker. Man. Right. It's a deal breaker to see if she really wanted to marry me because she knew this is how it was going to go for the next, you know, 50 years or so. So she was like, I trust you. Here's, you know, we bought parking spaces inside the building. The building did not deed the parking spaces to the apartments, the condos upstairs. So we rented the parking spaces out. Okay. We got rent on it. So we invested the money. We were getting almost 30% return on what we paid for those parking spaces, okay? Passive money coming in that we invested, okay? Those are the ideas of things. And it doesn't just have to be in real estate. It could be in dividend-bearing stocks. It could be in business, other businesses, you know? There's lots of things that could give you passive revenue that you could offset your living expenses. The sooner you could do that, you know, and we kept the parking spaces for 3 years. We sold them for triple what we paid for them. Then we took that money and we rolled it into our first rental property, you know? So that's what I've been doing behind the scenes. The money we make through Uppercut, Mandalay, our practices, I take that money, I invest it back into making more money, making the money work for us so that financial freedom is obtained much earlier. And there were years I made more in real estate than I did in optometry, right? Yeah. Because optometry, it's a great profession, right? But we need to prepare for not $1 million in savings or $2 million in savings. You know, 47% of the people that retire before COVID ran out of money within 5 years of retiring.
Scott, you know, I want to just pause you there for a moment. And I think I actually heard this on one of your videos as well, because this number was a high number that a lot of people are like, what the hell? What percentage of money should people ideally really be saving?
Okay. So the ideal number based on people that are more successful, and I'm borrowing and stealing from the people that are really successful in our country. You should be saving 40% of what you earn. That's your ultimate target. Okay. Now you could sit there and you could do the 10 or 15% that a lot of financial people put out there, but it's going to be very challenging to retire and live the lives that we are accustomed to now the same way, because the tax rates are going to go up. It's going to happen, right? So you have to look at all the factors. You need to take 40%, okay? And in challenging years, you might not get there. But if you strive for 40 and you get 33 or 32, you know what? That's pretty good, right? Yeah. So that's really the goal about the sacrificing, saving earlier to invest and make money with businesses, dividend stocks, real estate. There's lots of different areas that you could go into. But it is, the number is much higher. We're not going to need $1 million or $2 million or $3 million to retire. We're going to need $10 million. You know, healthcare costs, look at healthcare costs alone. What are they going to be? Now, I'm 46 years old, so I'm going to be there sooner than a lot of our other viewers, but it's only going to get more expensive, right? So we need. So that's what I'm talking about, the 40% of things. You know, 47% of the people are running out in the first 5 years of their retirement. We live in the best country in the world. This should not be happening here. And it starts with educating our children and our future generations about money and sales and how to use these regular tools that are not taught inside schools to make them more successful for when they get to be 20 years old, 30 year old, or 40 year olds, you know? So that's really, I think, the most important thing about teaching our future generations on how to save, how to invest, and how to make their money work for them will allow them to do the things that they enjoy to do, create memories with their family, and build a great work environment.
Wow. I mean, when you say it, it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, this is how you truly build an empire, right? You have to have, you know, that mindset to be able to save and to be able to take that savings and allow that savings to now turn into investment money and make that money and then make more investment money and be able to potentially live off of that whenever it's time to retire. Because who wants to work until, and again, optometry is a great profession, but I don't want to be saying one or two when I'm like 70, 80, 60 years old, simply because, yes, I love what I do, but also I want to be able to live life. I mean, just with COVID-19, this is bringing reality to us that tomorrow's not promised. Anyone can go. So we want to make sure that we have the right tools, the right resources, the right finances to be able to live a long, fruitful life and enjoy it as well. I don't want to wait until I'm 70 years old to enjoy life. I want to enjoy life now as well. And I definitely want to be able to make sure that I have the right resources and buckets of investments to get me to that lifestyle.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, younger generations than myself, they talk about, you know, enjoying life now. And I agree with them. You want to live your life and enjoy it now, right? And setting yourself up to do that is the most important part. We don't want to wait till we're 65 or 70 to go and travel. You know, you want to experience it when you're younger so you could create those memories and maybe bring your parents with you or your family members or whoever you want. And it can be done. It's such a rewarding thing, you know, building, I call it the empire. The empire for me, you know, is the complete package. It's like, how can we financially build ourselves as a family and put ourselves in the best position to enjoy life, to be able to experience things together and be able to share them with others, you know, as far as that. And it is a challenge. There is sacrifice involved. Don't get me wrong, right? It's important that we need to learn how to sacrifice in order to accomplish it, because it makes it much more worth it when we go on that special trip or we share those memories with our work family. You know, that's what it's about, you know, as far as that. So it's like you said, it's you don't want to be saying one or two. You don't have to be saying one or two when you're 70 or 75 years old, unless you truly want to. If you want to, that's great. If you still want to, that's your choice, right? Nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. But you can also accomplish where you're 42 years old. John and I stopped seeing patients on a regular basis at 42 years old after we built the companies. So I still go in when someone's on vacation and I keep my skills up here and there, but I'll tell you, it's becoming less and less at this point because we're working with so many great, you know, business owners in different professions in optometry. So it can be done. And I will tell you, because we've done it, and there's other people that have done it that we've worked with. So it's not just a fantasy out there.
So, you know, that's a great segue into, if anyone is interested in learning how to build an empire and, you know, create wealth and generational wealth and just really change their life in general, what's the best way for them just to get in contact with you? And what are the best platforms for them to follow you on? I mean, like, what do they need to do to just build that empire? What's the best communication platform?
Yeah. So the first thing I would always recommend to anyone is to sit down and just decide truly what your goals are for yourself. And just reflection. Reflection is really important, you know, and I never grew up doing that, to tell you the truth, but I've learned over the years, taking some time to yourself to sit down, and you're going to write down, I don't know, I usually write down like 25 or 30 goals that I want to accomplish, right? But we have to eliminate pretty much everything but the top two or three, because when we're trying to accomplish 25 things, we accomplish zero, right? So focusing on the two or three that are most important is the key priority to things, in my opinion. And if you're trying to, you know, I do Facebook Live, obviously, Empire Builder Show. It's been a little bit hectic schedule wise during COVID, but we're working on it. That's going to get back to its regular schedule a little bit more. And for a website, you could just go to drscottcolonna.com, drscottcolonna.com. It's a new site we just launched. It's still tweaking a little bit, but it gives you a lot of the information of what we do and how we could help. But even if not, just reach out on Facebook. I'm mostly on there, and just stay connected. I want to meet you. I want to know what you're doing. Even if we don't work together, when we go back to going to a conference, I want to meet with everybody. I want to share a drink with everybody and talk about how we can move the profession forward as business owners, but maybe not even as business owners, just as students coming out, you know, because that's what it's really about, connecting and meeting people, because we will get back to our conferences. We will get back to traveling. And right now it's just about, during COVID, make sure that you are not running on a negative cash flow. It's the biggest thing we've coached our clients through this whole process. What you are taking in on a weekly basis, make sure that your outflow on a cash basis is not negative. Mm. Now, you might be in a good sector of the country where you're fully open. We have some areas where they're reclosing and re-quarantining. Do not run it in the negative. do not depend on the government to put out another program, right? Put yourself in the best position financially, personally as the business owner, and as the business itself. You got to have two different hats, right? Your personal and your business hat. Do not run in the negative. If you could do that through this pandemic, no matter what happens in the fall or the winter, when you come out, you will be stronger and you'll be able to put your company in the best position to grow when this is done, because it will pass and we will come out of it better than we ever have before.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. Thank you for those wonderful tips there. And, you know, it's only right before we end this show for you to really just leave us with some quotes, man. Like, one thing I love about following you online is that every day you bless us, whether it's a personal quote or someone else's quote out there. And for me, I love to see stuff like that because it helps to motivate me for the day and to get my mind in the right track to be able to focus. So if you don't mind just sharing one, two, three, whatever it is that are your favorite quotes to just, you know, give some inspiration and motivation to the listeners and viewers out there. I think it's only right coming from you, man.
Sure. So I will tell you that the best one that I've always lived by, and I have a poster of it in my man cave's in the garage. So that's where my son and I hang out in the garage and hit golf balls. It comes from Wayne Gretzky, and he talked about that you miss 100% of the shots that you do not take.
Mm.
And to me, that resonates immensely, because how many times are we sitting there and we're like, man, that sounds like a good idea, right? And it might be a good idea. It might be the best idea for you that could really take your life to the next level and change people's lives around the country and the world. So don't always dismiss every idea you have as that's a silly idea, that'll never happen, right? Because if you came up with it, it could be something really great and exciting. So investigate, at least investigate 100% of the ideas and shots that you come up with. I didn't say you have to invest money and act on them, but just give them some ownership as far as that, you know? And it's funny because the other one I'll leave you with is growing up in New York City. So I love my pizza. Okay. And there's great pizza around the world, really. But we talked about when I moved to Rhode Island, I went into pizza places up here. And they had these menus that had like 900 things on it, right? So it's a pizza place outside. And then you went in and they're talking about their falafels or they're talking about their burritos and stuff. So I am a big believer in, and this is a personal quote, I don't mean it in any way, but just think about it this way. You don't want to be a pizza place owner that serves falafels. Nothing against falafels. I enjoy falafels very much. But take what you're really great at, what you're passionate about, and what you're really experienced in, truly experienced. I don't mean like I took a course and now I'm an expert in this. I mean, went through the goods and bads, learned about it as far as that, and specialize in that. And then give that to your patients and to your clients. Because your passion will show in what you know the best.
Yeah.
So those are the two things that I would share with our viewership here and your viewership. Hopefully that was a little bit of what you were looking for.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Every day when I get up, I'm
like, falafels. They are good. That's not what I meant. I love my pizza.
It's always great to be able to get a good quote from you, man. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for hanging out with me today. I mean, I've learned a lot. I'm pretty sure the viewers have as well. You guys, make sure you hit up Scott's website, follow him on Facebook, all the social media platforms, because he is really dropping some great knowledge that will not only take your practice to the next level, but also your personal life branding and just your life in general. Because as he touched on in this interview, you know, we want to have financial freedom. We want to be able to take care of our families. We want to be able to function during times like COVID-19 and not be in a negative. So you guys want to make sure you follow him, get all the advice, all the great information that he's dropping. And Scott, thank you again, man. I greatly appreciate you hanging out with me. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team.
We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.